Let's pray. Gracious Father, you promised that through Jesus Christ, you would share with us your Spirit, that by your Spirit, we may be one with you, just as the Father and the Son are one because they share the same Spirit. Now, gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be wholly acceptable and guided by thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. This is a Mother's Day sermon, an Ascension Sunday sermon, and a Family Day sermon. I'll be through before one. I'm glad you laughed. This is Ascension Sunday, the Sunday after the Ascension. 40 days following the resurrection, Jesus ascended. Now, you understand the importance of that 40 days. It's all through Scripture. So 40 days after that, Jesus ascended. 10 days later comes Pentecost. That's why Penta, 50 days. Jesus did this because this. He says, these things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. That's one of the importance of the ascension. The ascension is important because, in fact, as Jesus left, he could then share with us his Spirit. And we wouldn't just need him, but we had the Spirit of God within us. So we recognize that Jesus is not just the incarnate one. He is not just the crucified one. He is not just the resurrected one, but now also he is the ascended one. Because he has ascended to the Father, he has left with us his Spirit. What a powerful moment. This is also Mother's Day sermon. Now, Mother's Day sermons are about moms. How wonderful you are. How sacrificial you are. We can't get along without you sermons, right? And that's all good, but you've heard it all before, okay? So I'm about to do the dangerous thing because I'm up here and my wife is out there. And tell moms what you need. Now, I recognize the danger of telling mothers anything about how to be a mother when you aren't one and can't be one. I understand that. But I hope that this is a faithful encouragement to you, a biblical encouragement to you, something that you know instinctively, faithfully, at the same time may never realize, and that is this. You can't be a mother without the Holy Spirit. You can't be a mother without the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, you can have babies and you can have children. We all know that, you know. But how can you be the compassionate, sacrificial, unconditional, loving mother that God designed you to be without the Spirit of God resident in you? I mean, you have to have that life in you, that fire in you, that joy in you, that willingness to go on as things are difficult. So you really can't be a godly mother without the Holy Spirit. That's what the angel meant when the angel announced to Mary that she would be a mother. The angel said, "Hail, O highly favored one." Do you think she thought that? Don't you think Mary said, "Oh, no, what?" Hail, O highly favored one. But Mary lived in the power and in the favor of the Holy Spirit during her pregnancy and all her life. That's what we mean in the creed when we say, for us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate of the Virgin Mary and was made man. Mary was given the gift of the Holy Spirit literally in her womb and then in her life. How else could she have gone through all the degradation that she had to face? Can't you imagine what that Jewish community would have thought of her? Well, here the important thing about the ascension and the gift of the Helper is this. Moms, you are not alone. You are not alone. You are never by yourself. You are never without help. You are not alone. A more powerful help than even well-meaning husbands can be, or even well-meaning children can be. You're not alone. A famous mother, that's Ruth Bell Graham, Billy Graham's wife, said this, We mothers must take care of the possible and trust God for the impossible. We mothers must take care of the possible and trust God for the impossible. Well, what is the impossible that the Holy Spirit, that God does? Well, it's a long list. I won't try to do all of that. There's hope when you're hopeless, joy when you're joyless, patience when you're patientless, love when you're loveless. There's all of those things that we just can't hold on to all the time. We can't have, we can't possess, but the Holy Spirit's willing to come and to give those things. But for this morning, if I may, if there's one heartbeat that God has, that mothers have, it is family. Family. That's what happens when you become a mother. You create the beginning of a family. What is the impossible moms must trust God? Family oneness. Now, I use that word specifically, oneness, not just unity or agreement or we like each other, but oneness, because that's a biblical word, oneness. As Pastor Jeremy did with the umbrella, what a great illustration that is, that by the gift of that, the covenant of God, the Jesus Christ, that we are on that one umbrella, we have one, we are made one together. And that's the impossible thing that moms have to trust God for, and that is the oneness of the family. It's hard to hold on to, isn't it, folks? I mean, as a pastor, how many times I've been together with families that they've broken up, or families who have had disagreements, or families who have, because of inheritance issues, oh, Lord, help. Oneness seems to be the most important thing, but the hardest thing for us to maintain, especially as nuclear families. All right, back to the ascension. As we read our Bibles, we hear Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying, and he's preparing for the cross. He's there in the garden. The 12 disciples, they're all sleeping. Remember that. He trusted God for the impossible. Here's one of the things he prayed. First, he prayed for the oneness of those disciples, the unity of that group. He prayed for this. He said, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. That they may be one, even as we are one. That was his first prayer for those disciples, that group gathered around him, not just the 12, but the larger group with him. But then he went on in that prayer and began to pray for you and for me, for those who would believe in him later on. Here's what he said. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you are in me and I am in you. See, he prayed for us. He prayed for the church. He prayed that we could be one, the oneness of the church. Now, we know now, let's pray for the gift that God's giving St. John's Parish Church of oneness now, but we know the difficulty of breakups, don't we? We know the heartbreak of that, of denominations, of churches, and on and on. We have lived that, but we also are living in God's redemption for that too. He's redeeming it. He's bringing something wonderful from it. So oneness. Oneness is not just unity. It's not just agreement. It's much larger than that. It's stronger than that. Oneness is God's self-revelation. It's who God is. Remember the words from Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's called the Shema because that's the first word in Hebrew. It's the one word, or the one phrase that any good Jew would want to have on their lips before their death. It's also the great gift of the revelation that God gave them that they passed on to us. Shema Israel, Eloheinu Adonai, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. So in the midst of all the pantheon of gods, of people worshiping from nature gods to weather gods to whatever gods, he said, there's only one. The Lord thy God is one. And from that, we come and recognize the oneness of the Holy Trinity. The oneness of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity is one. Why? Because the Father and the Son share the same Spirit. John 17 again. Just as you, Father, in me, and I am in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So what's the purpose of oneness in the church? That people would say, wait a minute, something special there. What holds them together? And folks, let me tell you, the communities are saying that about us, about you. What holds them together to go to worship in a lunchroom? Why didn't they just go out and find some other churches? The oneness that God has given us. The oneness that God has given us in the Trinity. So oneness, though, does not come by agreement. Oneness comes by submission. Not by agreement, but by submission. Oh, and please understand this. I like agreement. Agreement means everybody agrees with me. Now, let's settle this barbecue thing right now. Now, I know some of you grew up, you know, and you had wonderful parents, but they only gave you mustard sauce. And you didn't realize there was a larger world out there. So you have to understand that there's some better things. Oh, well, we had some fun with that. I can settle that with this. You know what my favorite barbecue is? My favorite sauce is? The one I'm eating at the moment. That's my favorite, right? Okay, there's no such thing as bad barbecue. The difficulty in agreement is this, and that is people don't agree. There's a book written some years ago, which I really love. The title was The Omnivore's Dilemma. The Omnivore's Dilemma. Here was the subtitle. Ever since the invention of fire, man's dilemma has been, what's for dinner? Yeah. Who agrees with that, right? Some years ago, Kay made a very faithful and proper decision with our daughters about breakfast, because she would prepare breakfast and they'd come down to go to school and they didn't want to eat what she made. So finally she said, okay, I give up. You come down here and you make what you want and I'll help you. But there was no agreement in that, because one made this and one had that. You can imagine. The difficulty with agreement is everybody has to agree and they don't. That's why oneness is deeper than that. Deeper than that. Oneness does not come from agreement. It comes from submission. Now, submission today is a dirty word in this culture, isn't it? Why would you submit to anyone? Why would you submit to this group or that group? Why would you submit? Don't submit, because you're important. You're prideful. You know what to do and who you are. But in fact, submission is the key to our faith, isn't it? We have to submit to the fact that we are sinners to recognize that we need a Savior. Submission is the key to our faith. Submission was the key to the Son, Jesus Christ, being in oneness with the Father. Back to the Gethsemane prayer. As he prayed there, he prayed this. Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. What an honest prayer. I don't want to do this, but your will is the important thing, not just mine. Jesus submitted himself to the Father. And by that, because they shared the same spirit, there was a oneness, the oneness of the Holy Trinity, which made his sacrifice for us so potent. Not just important, but potent. Sometimes we have to be like Jesus. Sometimes we have to admit that I don't want to do this, but I know it's the best thing. I know it's the right thing to keep my group together, my family together, my marriage together, my sisters together, my brothers together, that I have to submit and do something with them. Now, not to do something unfaithful against God's word, but submission. They understand that my opinion is not the only right one. I had a hard time with that, folks, but you know. What is the impossible with which we must trust God? Oneness. That's the impossible. We must trust God. We must trust him for that, for our families, for our church, for our lives. We need a oneness within ourselves, with our own selves. We need that oneness within our church. We need that oneness within each family. Just as the Spirit of God makes the Father and the Son one, so too the Holy Spirit makes us one with Jesus. Mothers, you're not alone. You are not alone. What a wonderful promise that anytime you need help, you ask for help. At the Ascension, Jesus left you the Helper, the Comforter, the Spirit. His Spirit, so that you may be alive in him and with him. Jesus is the incarnate one, the crucified one. He is the resurrected one, and also he is the ascended one. May God bless the mothers with the Holy Spirit of oneness. May God bless St. John's Parish with the Holy Spirit of oneness. That as people see that we are one in the Spirit together in this, that they say, this must be something important there. I want to know what's going on. What is it happening there? What is it? It's because of this, that they may also believe in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Because of our oneness, people may believe and be saved. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Grace will never be forgotten. Your mercy all my life will be my soul's forever song, my story and my life. For all that you have done for us, for song to bless your name for all that you have done. From mountaintop to valley low, through laughter and through tears, surely the goodness of my God will follow all. Done for us, for every battle won, we'll raise a song to bless your name for all that you have done. In all our failures and regrets, you've always led us. Song has raised us up, our triumph in the storm. For all that you have done for us, for every battle won, we'll raise a song to bless your name. For all that you have done, in unity we'll stand as one, as family we'll go, shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, into the great unknown. For all that you have done for us, for every battle won, we'll raise a song to bless your name for all that you have done. For